The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Some people expect solutions to be expensive to be effective. This is not true. Everyone needs somebody who can be supportive and a guide. You'll find the answers you're looking for and the tools to both find answers and offer solutions on the Dr. Melanie Show. Now, here's your host, Dr. Melanie Barton.
Welcome to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. What is your intention? When we have situations that we want to be bettered, whether it's our health, wealth, work, or relationships, did you know that our intention for the desired outcome makes all the difference in the world? Today, Kat Kemms, L-K-E-M-M, the author of How to Feel and Understand Love Attraction, intends for us to understand the different types of attraction. She wants us to make a healthy, conscious intention to love. And then the second half, returning guest Lynn Woodland, author of Making Miracles, Create New Realities for Your Life in Our World, says collectively together we can affect world change through love and joined intention. Well, I intend for you to get some much needed information from this episode. So please stay with us for the whole show. So first up, welcome, Kat.
Thank you.
I read your book and I said, that explains some things, explains why I was attracted and married to somebody for so long. And when I finally decided, I'm a different person now. And I liked in the book how it said, you know, why can't you just, when it's done, just not have to pay expensive fees to lawyers, but just say it's done. So that was very interesting.
secret divorce.
Yeah, right. You mentioned many different kinds of love. Let's talk first about Eros love. What is that?
Eros love opens the heart. It is driven by passion. And when you meet somebody, it's a feeling of bliss because the person mirrors back to who you are. And you also, when you're away from the person, you also see yourself in a physical union with them.
Uh-huh.
And it's a wonderful love, obviously. The physical union drives you together, brings you together, but once that union has been achieved, it doesn't always keep together because we want to keep trying to hang on to that feeling of bliss. But it isn't always the case because the other person mirrors back to us who we are inside.
And then you may not want to see who you are inside.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And there could be a wound too. It could be a big love wound. Which starts from the soul leaving the divine station to come into a body. And we go through the process of rape being grown through the family and then other love relationships. And the wound goes deeper and deeper and the heart closes. So these types of loves are brought into our lives so we can face that wound, face our inner self, and grow more as we know ourselves. I'm sorry.
So when we do face ourselves and we grow, then we don't necessarily have to be in that relationship anymore?
Correct. Yeah. If we're free, if we feel free to move on, we're free to move on.
Okay.
The thing is, the last 50 years, we've tried to create this union of marriage and make it a legalized situation, and it causes entrapment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Explain that.
The entrapment because because so many of us have been raised in the church or in some sort of religion. We feel we need to stay with the other person out of, you know, honoring God, when really we start to disconnect from ourselves and not honor ourselves if we're staying in the relationship because of that.
Okay. So you think that it's possible that the upbringing we got in the church setting affects what we do?
Well, I think guilt plays into it, and it goes deeper than what we can talk about in one minute.
Right. So do you recommend that people not do a legalization of marriage, but they make a contract between themselves to come together and stay as long as it works?
Yeah, I think I'm not recommending anything, but in the ancient world, I'm sure they did not have legal contracts, written contracts of marriage, you know, we will stay together forever type of thing, which causes the entrapment. In the legal world, they were big in the in the ancient world, they were big in the ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
And probably humanity, this is my guess, that we're going to be more evolving toward that type of commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of the legal commitment, the
right.
wedding.
Yeah. Right. And a legal commitment is supposed to protect property and all that kind of stuff. It's
yes.
based on money.
Mm-hmm. Based on money and words.
Mm-hmm.
Legalese is words.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know as a minister, when I do a marriage ceremony for somebody, I do not have them extinguish their individual candles when they do a joint candle, because I tell them, you're not extinguishing yourself. You're still an individual. You're just coming together to make a union, but you still have all your parts, and it's supposed to enhance who you are, not snuff
exactly.
you out. Yeah.
Exactly. So many times we step into these relationships and marriage, and we lose ourselves. We give ourselves to this other person to make them happy, and we end up losing ourselves. And then self-medication starts. You know, we drink, have a glass of wine with dinner, then another, next night, it perpetuates itself. We become numb. Then we start disconnecting. Then our soul partially starts leaving the body, and, you know, all sorts of things happen in the unseen realm when our soul starts disconnecting from our body.
Yeah. People told me that I appeared to be robotic toward the end of my relationship, that I was going through the physical motions, but the soul, the body was there, but the mind was not.
Well, what was happening in that case, and probably with many people, is you were working on training from the mind, but your heart, which is the soul, was not there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you say that people can consciously connect with one another. How do you consciously connect? What do you have to do?
Consciously connecting is staying in your own space, practicing what makes you feel love for yourself, whether it is a meditation, whether it is staying in prayer, whether it is working out, taking a bath, going for a walk, working with animals, children, whatever are working, and then coming together and connecting, because you both are two different individuals bringing great knowledge together to create this union that hopefully will help other people in the
mm-hmm.
universe.
And the things that you're describing sound like things that would be related to the feminine aspect.
Correct.
But you're also
yep.
saying the thing about the male, that they also need to keep their individuality and what's right for them.
Yes. And for the male, it's very hard, because the feminine energy, that's the energy we're in now, the feminine energy is what they have to feel comfortable to embrace. They need
mm-hmm.
to embrace their femininity to keep ascending. Yeah.
And that's not always well received, to have them hear that. They're going to think, oh, you want me to be wimpy, or you want me to be effeminate, and I don't want to do that. And they don't understand the continuum of
yeah.
sexuality. There is no 100% one way or the other, that we've all got traits on that continuum.
Right. And none of us on the planet have been through these feminine energies of love. acceptance, intuition, compassion, care. We all are new to this, and yet we've had it suppressed. We've suppressed it within ourselves, listening to the heart, listening to the soul, listening to the desires of our heart. We've suppressed all of this because, you know, we've been in such a mind thing of the man, you know, the male energy is more mind-oriented. And, you know, none of us, we're all new to this. And so it's both the male and the female is about that whole balance. And that is the divine feminine.
Okay. So the historical documents that talk about a divine feminine way back when, Sophie and other things, the male part of the population has kind of suppressed that, you think?
Yeah, I think it's been forgotten.
But, you know, there's books that talk about the powers that women used to have and that, you know, they were the great inventors and developers and had the wisdom, but that got squelched, I think, because it was fearful to the male population.
Yeah, and plus in the ancient world, women were not allowed to be schooled. So now, you know, we have schooling, we know how to read, we know how to write the feminine, and we can also be the new creators of the world. And that's the, and for the feminine, that is embracing the masculine. And the divine feminine is, I embrace my masculine in me and the feminine in you. For the male and the female.
Okay. Well, that's kind of a completion of the two halves coming together to make a complete whole. Both, you know, the balance of the male and the female, masculine, feminine within each. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break at this point. And when we come back, we'll talk about some other kinds of love.
Okay.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced Cell Training is a restorative self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at AdvancedCellTraining.com. That's AdvancedCellTraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. We're talking about love attraction with author Kat Kim, who herself experienced some attraction issues. So Kat, is your attraction issues what led you to write this book?
Absolutely, Dr. Melanie. After 24 years of marriage and feeling so in love with my husband, I shifted, and it caused me to wonder why, because I was raised with the teachings of the church, thought I'd be married forever. And I felt embarrassed and ashamed. And mm-hmm. I wanted to know why I was so attracted to this one person, because the 3 years before I met him, I chose to be celibate so mm-hmm. I could pick the right husband.
Right.
And that was him. So, you know, then the book ensued and all this stuff. Well, thank goodness, because now I can bring this information to the world.
Mm-hmm. So did the marriage survive?
It hasn't survived what it was in the past. We will see in the future what will happen.
Okay. Okay. It's evolving.
It's evolving.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all on a journey of evolution, and we have to decide whether we're going to embrace it or fight it. And fighting it just prolongs what you need to work on anyway.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Fighting it is the man. Allowing is the female.
Okay.
Allowing,
I like
is
that.
The heart. Listening to the heart, that's the allowing part. Listening to the intuition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about karmic love.
Yeah, karmic love is very interesting, because karmic love has a type of love that can last long term. It's not necessarily like passionate or, you know, I've got to have this person. Karmic love just kind of like, okay, we're together, this is it, let's have it happen. And it evolves. And the thing that's so disturbing about karmic love is we just don't feel like we can step into the person's space to really, really kind of have all knowing of them, of all knowing of their soul. And actually, in the long run, karmic love is probably a really good love to live with somebody, to step into a long-term relationship or marriage with, because each does evolve on their own. Each has their own space, and it has the level of trust for the deep love, you know, relationship commitment.
Mm-hmm. But if they're coming together to heal and evolve, like you talked about, mm-hmm. then is the relationship done?
That depends on each party with it and what each party wants. Like, some people may want more passion. Karmic love necessarily doesn't have passion. There are different mm-hmm. levels of that. So it may not have the burning desire, and you don't really see yourself physically together, like the erotic love.
Okay.
Erotic love, you do feel no trust, and it's kind of, that is disturbing. Because you see yourself physically with a person, but the level of trust at the level of the soul isn't deep enough to establish a relationship. Karmically, the level of the soul, there's just a knowing. There's a knowing of what really the other person is, what the other soul is.
Okay. And is this something we contracted to work out before we came to this earth, to this lifetime?
I think that maybe, you know, probably. I think we're given paths and roads to choose to go which down for our own evolution. And I think, yes, and I think every relationship, every love relationship that is a connection that you can come together and love, helps the population come up an extra step in conscious listening.
Okay.
I just think the divine in God and comes through these romantic love relationships.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I wish that people, instead of grieving the finishing of a relationship, could actually do celebration that we've each gone as far as we've gone. And why can't we celebrate that rather than having to be angry in order to end it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's coming. That type of is coming. Sending love to each other, blessing each other, thanking each other for the time we spent together, thanking them for being a teacher to us and us a teacher to them, that is going to be the new way, because mm-hmm. that is the feminine energy. Mm-hmm. The anger and the controlling and all of that is with the mind. That is more the masculine, and that type of masculine energy is completely falling away.
Okay.
Yeah.
What happened? what happens in a relationship if one person's done but the other won't let go?
Okay, yes. Usually the one person that's done, it all depends. You know, several scenarios went through my mind. That's a little bit too deep.
Okay, to cover in just a few minutes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because different people are at different levels at different times. And
right.
One might be really in love with their spouse for this period of time, and then they get sidetracked into, you know, self-interest, and then the other person, it's a distancing dance. The other person goes, but I really want to spend time with you, and yeah, but I'm going to go take this class. So mm-hmm. people are at right. different points at different times.
And see, the thought that I had was it could be an addictive relationship to the other person. When
uh-huh.
one person is done, the other person could use that other person for an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And since we are in such a society that has so many addictions and way to self-medicate, you know, that could be happening.
Mm-hmm.
That is more at a deeper level. It's more at the unseen level where there are cords and attachments attaching to one another that need to be severed
mm-hmm.
for both parties to move on. Yeah.
Yeah. What I often see in a case like that is the person who is addicted to the other will go find somebody else to transfer their addiction to. And the name of the person might change, but the living situation just kind of duplicates what it was. So,
right. Exactly.
Like
That doesn't help the other person. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's like a person who's been married to an alcoholic and divorces them and then goes and marries another alcoholic.
They still got another teacher to teach them a lesson they're supposed to learn within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Lessons will be repeated until learned.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just a numbing thing. It's just another numbing thing to step into another relationship without looking at, you know, what brought us here and what our inner needs are. And really the biggest inner need for the addiction is to face that loneliness. Face that loneliness, face that wound. Go deep within yourself and look at where that original wound is and what that is, because love is not painful.
Mm-hmm.
And really, addiction is covering up that pain, that lonely pain, the anxiety.
Yeah. I know that there was a period of time in my life when I'd lost 18 different people in 22 months. It included pets and people and relatives and church members. And I just felt like I was totally alone. And what I learned was from my spouse, you come into the world alone, you leave the world alone. The only constant is God or divine that goes with you. So through that grieving process, and I was afraid to be around anybody for fear they were going to die too, I learned that I had to rely on God, that it was just God and me, ultimately.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so I developed a different kind of relationship, a more non-religious relationship, but just kind of a constant companion, talking out loud, different things like that, to develop that part of me that I had been afraid to be alone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
So.
That's why romantic love is so important. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, after people are in a relationship and the heart closes
mm-hmm.
because of the wound, you know, the heart closes at the first chance the other person hurts them, romantic love opens the heart to know that there is a God, because you feel that bliss, and that bliss reminds you God's in the universe. There is a God. And we
mm-hmm.
are
yeah.
in divinity.
Yeah, I think it reminds us of what we lost when we disconnected with the divine when we came to Earth.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And when you face that loneliness and you reach out and make that connection with the divine, that union is reconnected.
Yes, exactly. And we become whole people
mm-hmm.
by facing that loneliness, we become whole people. We heal the parts of our soul that disconnected and split off to go heal somewhere out in the unseen world. And, you know, those parts come back to our to us, and we mm-hmm. become whole people and stand in our own power instead of giving our power away to somebody else, you know, with their own mental illness and psychoses of living.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know I had to do a 6-month sabbatical from being in public because of immune issues I had. So I didn't go to church. I didn't go to recovery meetings. And it made me reassess everything. Why do I do this? Is it habit? What do I really want to do? And so God and I really connected during that time. And I chose to spend Thanksgiving alone, but I wasn't alone. I was very happy. I was making conscious choices. And my intent was, I want to develop this relationship better with God.
That's what I think our whole journey is here to the earth, is to make that conscious connection to God, to be with God. The whole journey of meditation and prayer and is feeds that.
Well, what feeds us is keeping track of the time. So what we need to do at this point is to tell them how they can get your book, How to Feel and Understand Love Attraction. How do they get it?
I go on Amazon.com.
Okay.
Or you can go on my website, katkemm.com. It's K-E-M-M, two M's.
Okay.
.com. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Kat, for being on. And we might have you come back when you write the next book and talk about that. So,
thank you, Dr. Melanie.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Well, let's go to a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Are you, or is someone you know, struggling with life? Do you know that your subconscious beliefs play a big role in the outcome of your hard work? We can help you to permanently change your beliefs that may not be in alignment with your goals. We care about getting you a return on your investment. We can help you reach your goals easily and quickly. Contact us at BeliefMantra.com. That's BeliefMantra.com.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the Internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Kat Kemm helped us to understand how we're attracted to one another. Now, returning guest Lynn Woodland is going to tell us about the new metaphysics and how we can together affect change in our world. What's your part? Listen and find out. Welcome back, Lynn.
Well, thank you. Hi, Dr. Melanie.
Hi. So what is this new post-shift metaphysics?
Well, before I get into the metaphysics, I want to just talk a little bit about the ways that I see humanity changing. These are not subtle, gradual, we have to be really sensitive to see them kinds of changes. What I'm seeing happening are some changes that are very dramatic, they're very obvious. We can see them all around us, and they have everything to do with humanity finding its power by coming together. Mm-hmm. We can see it in the ways that governments have tumbled in just the last year or so, and grassroots political movements have been rising all over the world. Mm-hmm. Time magazine in 2011, in their last year, named the protester as their person of the year and noted that all the protests were independent, that there wasn't any top-down kind of instigation or organization. We're seeing in a whole different area how careers are being made by people going directly to the masses one by one by one, using vehicles of technology such as YouTube and Facebook and Twitter and crowdfunding sites. Mm-hmm. Whereas once upon a time, there had to be an intermediary of some big, well-established industry to create that kind of connection with the masses. We're seeing technology evolving to a place where I think it's starting to evolve us. And it's enabling the emergence of a sort of human hive mind. In fact, I think it's very interesting that MIT in the last 5 years has opened a center for collective intelligence that just studies this, that studies the connection of the human mind and the computer in this massively connected way that the internet does, and looking at how that hive mind is actually more intelligent than an individual alone. And they're actually looking at how this collective intelligence can be harnessed for the common good.
Mm-hmm. So like the Borg on Star Trek and the movie with Will Smith about the robots that took over, you know, we're trying to have this hive mind but not have it go in a negative direction.
Yeah, I really see that there's a lot of positives to this.
Okay.
And in fact, I think that ultimately there's a way that the internet and all of this technology, I see it as like training wheels, teaching us how to connect in a whole new way and even perhaps how to love in a new way, because we're becoming such global citizens. Things like Facebook actually allow us to connect in a personal way with people on the other side of the planet in mm-hmm. ways that would never have been possible before. And I think a really interesting example came from the recent viral video that happened this year of Kony 2012 that was a documentary on YouTube of some of the atrocities happening in Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that conventional media hadn't covered that story. They had. They just weren't able to get people to really pay attention and to care. It really took this much more personal vehicle of YouTube that gets disseminated person by person by person for people to pay attention. I believe it was in the tens of millions. It was some huge number of people had seen this video. And to start to really care, to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
And, for those of us involved in personal growth and spiritual seeking, I think this shift can't help but change our spiritual lives and our spiritual practices, too. So mm-hmm. What I've started to think of as a new metaphysics actually takes technology out of the mix and replaces this incredible connectivity that we have via the internet with connection through intention and pure consciousness alone. And this new metaphysics holds at its core the tenets that we are exponentially more powerful together than separately,
mm-hmm.
and that love is the most potent change agent there is. And it puts into practical applications of what science is showing to be this virtually limitless power of consciousness
mm-hmm.
to change physical reality, including even the transcendence of time and space as we think of them. So in much the same way that we're seeing people come together in grassroots movements facilitated by technology in a way to affect change, the metaphysics of this would be coming together through conscious intention alone, because intention can transcend time and space. We can even join together with people from the past and the future simply by all holding an intention to do so. You know, it gets a little mind-boggling, but it opens up all kinds of new possibilities for tapping into this power of mind over matter, you know, we've learned so much about through law of attraction teachings, and science is actually starting to validate and shows really quite significant that mind over matter power.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. So this conscious intent, it could also be used for negative things as well, right?
You know, we can always take any positive and turn it negative.
Mm-hmm.
There actually is, and of course, that does and will happen. But there's actually some interesting science, and I wish I could cite it. I don't have it in the front of my brain, but there's some actual science showing that a loving thought, a loving emotion has greater impact than a fearful one. There's a lot of science now just documenting the power of love.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Emoto's work with water shows that. It demonstrates it.
Yeah, that's one. There was a great book that came out, a while ago now, maybe 20 years ago, by Dean Ornish, mm-hmm. who's an MD, and he just pulled together all the masses of medical research that's been done showing that all forms of love have a very powerful and discernible healing impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made the point that if it could be put into bottles and tablets, it would be advertised as the greatest miracle drug of the century. But, it's so hard to commercialize love that we don't think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a tremendous body of research showing that.
Mm-hmm.
From the world of quantum physics, we now know that there exists this limitless field of energy that is virtually the underpinnings of, you know, physical reality. We can't see it, we can't touch it, and maybe those who are psychic can, but it's there. It's an untapped energy source, and scientists are working very hard to figure out a machine that will tap it, and speculating that it could meet all of our energy needs in a really unlimited way.
Mm.
But there's this other really interesting perspective on this light, this field of energy and light, that comes from the science, the research that's been done on people who've had near-death experiences, where they leave their bodies and they mm-hmm. go into the light and they come back to tell their story. And they do clinically die. Their consciousness leaves their body, they come back. And what they say about going into this light is that the light is really synonymous with the experience of unconditional love, that there is no separation. And I think if we put some of this research together, it really paints a picture of this ever-present field of light that we know as energy and the substance that could meet so many energy needs. We also can maybe extract that this light is the essence of unconditional love, that it's the substance that precedes our healing and manifestation of all of our good in so many ways. So I think that when we access this state of unconditional love, we tap into a power source that's bigger than anything we've known before. And while there certainly can be perversions of that, of those people who want to build upon fear, I think that ultimately a little bit of love can win over a lot of fear. And
oh,
that,
I agree.
I think that's the good news.
Okay. Well, with that good news, why don't we take a break now? And when we come back, I want to talk about the new axiom that you wrote about in your book. So let's take a break.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
March is Social Worker Month, a time to remember social work heroes like Nobel Prize winner Jane Addams, Secretary of Labor Frances Perkins, and civil rights leaders Dorothy Height and Whitney Young. They all helped make this nation great. You can too. If you're a professional social worker, the National Association of Social Workers provides a unique network of your peers. If you're thinking about becoming a social worker, NASW resources can help you explore your options. Social work is the profession of hope.
Do you have or know someone who has multiple sclerosis, Lyme disease, or any other chronic illness? Advanced cell training is a restorative, self-healing modality that I, Dr. Melanie, have had phenomenal results with, reducing physical symptoms I've had for over 20 years. This process can be done right in the comfort of your own home. Request their free DVD at advancedcelltraining.com. That's advancedcelltraining.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to the Dr. Melanie Show with your host, Dr. Melanie Barton. To participate in our discussion this week, please call toll-free 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to drmelaniebarton@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to the Dr. Melanie Show on the Health and Wellness Channel of Voice America. Author Lynn Woodland is telling us about the new post-shift metaphysics. And in her book, she was talking about this axiom. And it said, the old axiom, it's better to give than receive. But the new axiom is that we have more for ourselves when we give to one another. You want to tell us what that means?
Sure. And I've been talking very abstractly up to this point. So let me just make it very practical. I'll give an example. The Secret teaches us to visualize what we want and give it a lot of attention and energy, and that will attract us to it or mm-hmm. get to us. So, you know, everybody listening out there for a moment, just bring to mind some cherished heart's desire. Just for a moment, you know, just like The Secret teaches us how to do. And just imagine it for a moment. Until you feel all good and warm and fuzzy inside. You know, just picture it there. And then let it go. Let it go. And now imagine yourself able to reach out beyond time and space, just in consciousness, to every other person who has, is, and will hear these words. Because some of you might be listening to this in the future. And now you don't have to believe any of this is possible. Just imagine what it would feel like if you could reach out to every other listener, wherever they are in time and space, and just imagine that we're all joining minds, bringing only our highest and best to the party, forming a pool of consciousness. Biochemist Rupert Sheldrake would call this a morphic field. And now to activate this field of consciousness, for just a moment, let yourself love all of these unseen, unknown fellow listeners. Not for any particular reason, just because you can. Love them with all your heart, just as you would your nearest and dearest. Let their heart's desires matter to you as much as your own. And with the biggest wave of love you can muster, just send in your imagination a heartfelt desire that miracles are happening for each and every one of them. You can just imagine yourself in the role of a parent delivering the most beautifully wrapped birthday gift to your beloved child, but multiplied by many, many, many listeners. And just with your heart overflowing from the sheer joy of giving the perfect gift to someone who just loves it. And now you don't even need to believe that this is really doing anything. Just imagine it and feel it. You know, see how it would feel if you did believe that your loving intention is quietly making life better for people you'll never know. And there, that's it. You've done it. You know, and now many people you'll never meet have just done the same for you, like a big focused prayer offered on your behalf. Mm. And now there's a lot of prayer showing the power, a lot of research showing the power of anonymous prayer, that it really has an impact. And that's something that you've just sent out and you've also received in a pretty big way. And it probably feels pretty good. And this is what I mean by giving and receiving are now becoming the same thing. Hmm. It used to be at one time that we were taught it's better to give than receive. However, that whole axiom, it always lies in polarity and consequently then in very close relationship to the idea that, well, there's not enough to go around, so I'd better grab mine first.
Right.
And in this duality, where we can either attend to our own needs or care for others, being a good person involves sacrifice, and it forces our energy to be divided between ourselves and others. You know, and many of you out there, I'm sure, are familiar with A Course in Miracles, which evolves this duality of giving and receiving into the singular. Giving and receiving are the same, but it can be so abstract. But in the little experiment I just led you all through, that's an example of how we can start to manifest things for ourselves through tapping into our love for one another. And I would be surprised if those of you who really did that with intent don't start seeing wonderful miracles happening in your life. Because I always hear stories after I do. Even the littlest, what I call a miracle experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So as we start to see through the demonstrations of our own miracles that we can have more for ourselves as we give to one another, we really get it. It stops being an abstraction.
Okay, but what happens if the intent of the person is, I'm going to do this so I can get what I need? You've got to have your heart in the right place, right?
Well, then they're not really doing it.
Okay.
Because, you know, giving is only a gift when it's truly in love. In fact, that's how we burn out. If you think of yourself as a big giver and you feel burned out, like you're always giving energy out, you're never getting anything in, it may be that you're doing a lot of the work and the external actions of giving without having the open-hearted experience of love. And when we have that love flowing, you know, we often don't need to do as many of the external actions. And in this process, it really is about staying in the love vibration. That's actually the most powerful way to manifest something. Yet the way manifesting is taught is that we learn to first be in love with our heart's desire, and that's all good. That keeps us in a love vibration for about a minute, until we shift into our attachment to it. Then we're in more of a fear vibration. We immediately
right.
go into that place of, well, what if I don't get it?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I never get what I want. You know, all that stuff starts to kick in, and we're not in a love vibration anymore. And yet, if we can shift from, oh, my heart's desire is so lovely, to, oh, and I really do feel love and compassion for all of you, and you know, it feels pretty good to be Santa Claus and just give these lovely blessings of unconditional love anonymously. It really does feel pretty good. if we do that with an open heart. And not only does that shift us away from our own fear and attachment, but it really does build a pool of energy. It builds, as I said, what you could call a morphic field that begins to work on behalf of all of us, because intention is powerful. Prayer is powerful. As we hold a loving intent for another person, we actually have given a real gift that in some way is received. You know, it's a way that we fill each other's spiritual bank account, mm-hmm. so that we just in a very invisible way have more resource to draw upon for our own good.
Mm-hmm. I know when I'm working with clients, they often tell me it's not the technique that I use. It was my presence, my loving mm-hmm. acceptance presence that
yeah.
made them know it was okay to handle whatever it was they were going through.
Yeah. Yeah, and I see that being another shift in this emerging new metaphysics, because when we're really aware that the change agent is love and joined mm-hmm. intention, there's less emphasis on the techniques and the teachers.
Right.
And, you know, I think that there's always going to be a place for teachers and teachings, and yet there's going to be less dependency, which I think is going to leave all of us personally more empowered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, my hope is that many people will be empowered by hearing this episode to go, because you have a weekly kind of conference call you do, a workshop of some sort, correct?
Well, actually, you know, what I'm kicking off right now, I'm making this miracle experiment that I started in my book bigger with a Making Miracles project. And what I'm doing, I'm offering to personally meet with any group of four or more using e-meeting technology to mm-hmm. lead a miracle experiment. It's like having a miracle experiment party in your house.
Okay.
And at the end of it, I'm going to ask for a donation of any amount that's going to benefit the SEVA Foundation. And now SEVA is just an amazing World Health Foundation that's just made miracles all around the world.
Okay.
And, you know, then my hope is that after this one-time event, some of you all might be inspired to keep meeting for miracle making.
Oh, I like
and
that.
I offer a lot of help for how to structure that. But, you know, a big part of miracle making is that we don't just do the inner work. We actually reach out in service to one another. So I'm putting out a big, big push for all the groups who want to be part of this miracle making project to also have a service project that's going to in some way serve the world beyond your own members. And to really join with me in starting a wave of miracles and service.
I like that very much.
So, you know, well, together, anything's possible.
I agree. I agree. Well, it's about time for us to wrap it up. But before I do that, how can they get your book and how do they get to your website?
Well, my website is lynnwoodland.com. That's L-Y-N-N, Woodland, okay. just like it
okay.
sounds, W-O-O-D-L-A-N-D. And my book, you can find it in bookstores or on Amazon. I always put out a push to go to your favorite bookstore and keep them afloat.
I like that.
If you see it at your bookstore, ask for it.
All right. Well, Lynn, thank you very much for being back here again today, and I'd like to invite you to come back again when you do this project so we can invite others to be part of it. Would you do that?
I would love to. It's
All right.
been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much. Well,
Thank
now,
you so
folks,
much.
It's you're welcome. Now, folks, it's time to wrap up today's show. If you want to reach Kat Kim, it's K-E-M-M, go to katkim.com. If you want to reach Lynn Woodland, go to Lynn, L-Y-N-N, woodland.com. Now, next week, we're going to learn about an exciting event that's coming to New York City in March of 2013 called Get Your Voice On, a celebration of women, of the divine feminine, perhaps. So I hope that you will continue to listen in, and I would like for you to go to my website, thedrmelanieshow.com, and sign up for the newsletter and look at the books that I have there on my storefront that you can click through and go to Amazon and buy them. So I'll be asking other authors to sign up for that affiliate program so you can have access right from my website. So remember, to help yourself, help someone else. Until next week, goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us this week for the Dr. Melanie Show. Please join your host, Dr. Melanie Barton, again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. We'll see you next week for another great program.